Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1, we're live.
Listeners, you have tuned in live to the Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio Show. I am Robert Deal, filling in as the host for Restita De Jesus, which had something come up tonight, and I'm sorry she's not my host, but I do have somebody filling in as my guest co-host. Please help me welcome Sensei Wayne Riley. Sensei Wayne, how are you this evening?
Hey, doing fantastic, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. Weather's beautiful. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful weekend. Well, of course, I can't say that about you, however. Why don't you tell our listeners what happened to you yesterday and your family?
My 10-year-old son and my 26-year-old and 18-year-old were playing ball, passing it back and forth, and the 11-year-old had hold of the dog's leash, and he's about 90 pounds. And he jerked him down to the ground and broke his collarbone in two places. So
aww.
We spent the rest of the afternoon in the emergency room, and that is never a fun thing.
No, not at all. So who was 90 pounds, your son or the dog?
What's that?
Who was 90 pounds,
the dog's
your son or
the
dog?
The dog's 90 pounds.
Ooh,
the dog's 90 and the 11-year-old's only like 74 pounds.
Oh, wow. Well, I hope he gets better. I know he's got a black belt test. This will give him a little bit of time to practice a little more and a little harder.
Yeah.
You know, as parents, when we put our kids through something, we're always harder on them than the other students.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I make them go through the ranks slower than I do everybody else because I don't want them to think that I'm, you know, showing favoritism towards my kids, you know. So they have it a lot tougher than everybody else does.
That's right. You know, funny thing happened the other night, and I don't know, maybe some women can put some light on this. How is it when a woman is penniless, not broke, but maybe she doesn't have any cash on her when she's out, how can they go into a store penniless, not intend on buying anything, but they still call it shopping?
I have no idea.
Doesn't make any sense to me. No, you go into the grocery store to buy groceries. You're not going to go in with no money unless you're paying the plastic.
Right. But what's the sense of walking around a grocery store without any money?
That's right. And you know, I was out with my wife a couple months ago, and I did the father husband thing. I walked around the mall, never stepped foot in any store. Yesterday. I'm out with my daughter, and she needs to buy a present for a friend of hers. So we go buy this present. I said, honey, I need some tennis. So we go in the Payless shoe store. I walk straight to the men's 10.5. I point. There it is. Grab them. I'm gone. I'm literally there 30 seconds. It took me longer to stand in line than grab the shoes. And I looked at her and said, honey, that's how you buy shoes. And she said, what if they don't fit? What is this? I said, I'm a guy. I don't care.
Stuff a little toilet paper in the toe and go on.
That's right. She doesn't understand it. So,
you
probably never use these lines on trying to pick up the opposite sex. You know, there's all those lines all over. You know, if you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me? Do you believe in love at first sight, or should I come in again? These cheesy, cheesy lines. Well, I picked up some I want to share with the audience. In fact, I may repeat a couple because a couple of them bear repeating. Now, I did take out a lot of them because a lot of them were just nasty. So I only have a few here. This is the first one. Did you ever realize screw rhymes with me and you? Wow. The next one is, hey, I lost my underwear. Can I see yours? How about this one? I lost my virginity. Can I have yours? Here's $30. Drink until I become really good looking and then come back and talk to me. Girl, you better have a license because you're driving me crazy.
Oh, man.
I know. It's like, oh, my God. I want to find out that one I was using on here, and it's not here. Everything got rearranged. Damn it. It says, I'm gay, but you might be able to turn me straight. Oh, that's a real good one. Excuse me, I seem to have lost my phone number. Can I borrow yours? You know what? Some of these are like, you have got to be kidding me with some of these.
You know what? I don't think I've ever, honestly, ever heard anyone use any of those. I really don't.
You know what? Me either.
And if
like,
I think
these,
I did.
Some of these.
I think if I would have, they'd have to pick me up off the ground from dying laughing. That would just be pitiful.
Absolutely. It's like, my God, there it is. Now, the next one, hi, will you reject me if I try and pick you up? Then the next one is, if beauty were measured in seconds, you'd be an hour.
Oh, geez.
And here's the worst one I've ever heard, but it's a very common one. You must be from Tennessee because you're the only 10 I see.
Oh, gosh.
Now, honestly, if you guys ever hear, if any woman, guy ever hears a line like this, it's very simple what you say to them.
You big dummy.
Now, how funny is that? You are listening. Huh?
Have you heard the video thing that they've had going around, like Facebook and everything? It's got a black woman on there, and she just says, ain't nobody got time for that. I'm trying to find the feed, but I can't find it.
And of course, you know, I sent these to see for Rusty, and she says, you know what, if any guy ever tried that with me, I'd laugh out. On any one of those ones. we've got some birthdays, and we've got some callers already calling in, which is pretty amazing.
Awesome.
Callers, we will get to you. We have our first segment to complete, so just hang out a little bit. For anybody who wants to call in, our number is 347-677-0699. Hopefully the callers that are calling in aren't calling in about the pickup lines. Now, in the house, we have, now most of our listeners will never hear of these people, but we've got Susan Hirasuna. She's a huge news anchor in Los Angeles. Her birthday's on the 9th. We have a dear friend online, Anna Ramos, good martial artist out of Thousand Oaks, California. Her birthday's on the 10th. And my cousin out of St. Paul, Minnesota, Rita Wegler-Guile, her birthday is on the 11th. So, to all of those having a birthday, this tune's for you. Happy birthday, everybody. I want to put a special shout-out to Anna Ramos, which is listening, with her friends Natalia, Jackie, and Diana, listening live from Thousand Oaks, California in SoCal. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We really do appreciate it. And we've got a couple shout-outs. One shout-out goes out to the Masters Hall of Fame, which is coming up August 1st this year in Long Beach, in conjunction with the Long Beach International's 50th anniversary. And we've got some seminars with the Masters coming up in Long Beach on the 2nd after the ceremony. From 8 to 9:15 is going to be Mike Sandoz, Combative Kung Fu, from 9:15 to 10:30. Mark Shuey, Keen Masters, Keen System, from 10:30 to 11:45. Going to be Jacob Bressler. He's going to be teaching a Kapop seminar. And if nobody's familiar with Kapop, it is the predecessor and the father to modern-day Krav Maga. 11:45 to 1 is going to be Michelle Manu. She's going to be teaching Lua weapons and open hand techniques. 1 to 2:15, Robert Parm is going to be teaching kickboxing. 2:15 to 3:30, Darren Tabone is going to be teaching Serrata Escrima. From 3:30 to 4:45, Rosita D'Jesus is going to be teaching blending your art concept to combat. Thank you, everybody. We really appreciate it. That is going to be a great event. Oh, my God. One of these years, when the economy builds back up, you need to come out and see us.
I know I do. I so wanted to be there with you guys for the Dragon Fest. It was depressing. I wanted to be there so bad. But, you know, next time.
Next time, you know, it is going to be a yearly thing. In fact, our new intro music comes from our Dragon Fest. Rusty said, "Hey, let me share something with you," and did the new music. And I said, "Wait a minute, that's me." And I guess he took an excerpt from Dragon Fest and plugged it in there. Well, we've got Mr. Riley is going to take Rosita's place and do our health news. Go ahead, Wayne. What have you got for our health tip of the week?
Health tip of the week, strength training during commercials. A well-known metabolism jumpstarter, resistance training just once a week can improve your ability to solve conflicts and focus your attention. A Canadian study has found. Think you don't have time to work out? Luckily, you don't need a gym. Just use your own body weight. Do as many push-ups, squats, or crunches as you can during commercials while watching your favorite TV show, or lunge across your living room as you water your plants. There is a lot you can do for body weight resistance training without the gym. Check out this website for some ideas across push-ups and sit-ups. Let's see, how we go about this? greatest.com/50-bodyweight-exercises-you-can-do-anywhere.com.
And if nobody remembers that, I will be posting that on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. Now on to
Weird News.
Okay, for Weird News, police in Washington State say a man suspected of taking $9,200 worth of golf clubs and other merchandise from the pro shop at Golden Mountain Golf Course had no criminal history, but appears to be addicted to golf. Bremerton police detectives spotted some of the stolen gear for sale online and arrested the suspect Wednesday in Kirkland, Washington. Police Chief Steve Strachan said in a news release that robberies are often the result of addictions, but this is the first one police have seen that looks like a golf addiction. The Kitsap Sun reports other property that was stolen from the pro shop on Memorial Day was recovered from the suspect's apartment. Now, I don't know if you get this kind of news back there, Wayne, but recently we had a news story, and I don't think it was local, though. It was a national news story. And the only reason they caught this guy, I forgot what he did, robbery or something like that, he started bragging on his online media. He started bragging about it on Facebook. Wow,
that
this guy should be on World
Famous
Criminal.
Criminal.
Oh, absolutely. And I've seen some stupid criminals. This guy was, because it's so accessible now, we've got the Twitters and we've got the the Facebook and all, and, you know, Blogger and WordPress, all these multimedia outlets where we can go and just say stuff. And these guys just take it to the extreme. They just committed a crime. They go and brag about it. You don't think police monitor these social sites?
I guess they think that no one else can see it.
What?
You know? I mean, come on. This is the media, you know? No matter if it's on someone's personal page or not, you know?
I know. Well, let's take a caller. Maybe it's our guest, because for the first time in history, we are running ahead of schedule, and our guest is So this is, but you know what I'm talking about. This is, see, when we run behind sometimes, it's not a big deal when we're calling our guests, but when our guests are calling in and we're 15 minutes ahead of schedule, we're going, oh, my God, we have to wait another 15 minutes, so we better talk amongst ourselves.
With no incidences. Oh, no, I should not have said that.
Why did you say that?
I know. Somebody can kick me. Go ahead and kick me.
And for our listeners that don't know, every time Rosita takes time off to teach or whatever she has planned when she can't do a show, something always happens.
Always.
Something
always
gets jacked up, no matter what. And Wayne's been our guest co-host on several occasions. And something always happened. One time we couldn't get a hold of our guest. Twice, actually, we couldn't get a hold of our guest.
Yeah, twice.
The last one, you know, was Don Wilson. He's always going to get a pass with me. The one time out of 20 years that he chose to watch the Super Bowl was the time that we had to get a hold of
him. Yeah, no doubt.
I'm freaking out. I'm contacting his brother.
We did have issues with that. Remember, because he lost, I think it was his cell contact or something had failed, and it was like three different times to try to finally get through and have a full conversation with him.
Right. Exactly. Well, let me bring a listener on that wants to talk to us. Let's bring them on. Area code 407-227. You are on live with the Dynamic Dojo.
Hello, Dynamic Dojo.
Is this
Glenn Wilson in Cocoa Beach?
Wow, Master Glenn! I'm glad you called in. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. It sounds like y'all are having a great time over there.
Always.
We are. How's the shooting go today?
The shooting went well, and it's been going really well the last couple of days, and we're really excited about the new movie, Martial Arts Kid, of course. Has a lot of good people in it, and everyone's working really hard on this project.
I'm excited for this one. I'm really excited.
I am, too. I am extremely excited. Some of the nicest people in the martial arts industry are in this film. You know, T.J. Storm, Matthew Ziff, of course, Glenn Wilson, Don Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, Eric Cardinal. They're all amazing people. I met T.J. Storm 3 weeks ago at Dragon Fest. He treated me like I was a long-lost brother.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, one thing, Don, he doesn't know a stranger, and I tell you, he is just one of the nicest and purest guys in the art, no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Of course, you happen to have an in with a film where you may not have had to audition. They probably just called you up and said, we've got a spot, you want to do it.
I'm sorry, I lost the last part of that message.
Well, I'm saying you had a definite in when it came to this film, like not like you had to audition for it or they had to check your background.
Yeah, that's true. I am the grandmaster of the Pilum Thal system, which three of our top masters in our organization are Don the Dragon Wilson, his brother James Wilson, the producer, and, of course, Cynthia Rothrock. So I had a little bit of an in, no doubt.
Just a little bit.
You taught them in Cocoa Beach, correct?
Actually, in all of Florida in Orlando. Now, Cynthia came from another part of Pai Lum Thao and then emerged around, came around about the 80s and stuff. But Don and James have been with me since, oh, gosh, I just throw it out there, the mid-70s, right around there.
Wow.
So a long, 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 long time. And it's an incredible, very traditional system of Chinese, Hawaiian, and Okinawan blend that Dr. Daniel Pai brought from Hawaii to the United States in 1953. And it's the real deal. And like any of your listeners who know and understand tradition, you can't buy that. It's got to be the real stuff on the floor, and that's what we're proud of.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing better than the real
deal. Oh, very good. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, would you like me to call you? Master, Sifu, Glenn?
Well, you can call me Glenn. My official title is Sitai Gung, or Grand. I am the Grand Master. Dr. Pai passed away. He was the legendary teacher, like I said, who brought this system to the world. He passed away in 93, and in those last several years, him and I worked very hard on organizing the curriculum, standardizing the rank, legitimizing the rank, because all of us that have spent our whole life in the martial arts know that, you know, there's so many people with different titles or different whatever, and so many of them are well-deserved and good people and good systems, but there's so much of it that isn't. And we wanted to make sure that when the label of Pai Lum Thao, the Way of the White Dragon, which is predominantly Kung Fu and Kempo, the blending of it, when somebody put that brand on, we wanted to make sure that it's legit. And that's why that's one of the reasons I think we have such good, good, powerful, honest people.
Wow. That is so awesome. And, of course, it was really interesting when I asked Don Wilson on the show, because Wayne was my guest co-host at the time, how did you get your name? How did you get the Dragon? And, of course, that comes from your system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell you what, Don was a phenomenon as a youngster. He's a natural athlete, has natural ability in any sport or art he would have went into. And in the 70s, when he decided that he was really going to start competing and training and put his passion into it, everybody said, well, there's the dragon, because that's what we are. We are the Way of the White Dragon. He got tagged with that name early on and has deserved it, and I think has made it known worldwide.
He has, absolutely. You know,
he has several
world titles. And, of course, now, Wayne, I don't know if you know this, but one of the actors on this film, Orlando Rivera, after Don retired, actually gained notoriety by getting Don's ring ranks.
I do know that. I do know that, and I have the greatest respect for him. He's also, like I said, there are so many really great people working hard on this project and this movie that it hardly seems like work. It's a pleasure, and I can't wait for the message of the movie to come out to people, which, of course, will be next year once all the production work is done, because it's not just another action movie. It's not just another good guy, bad guy thing. There is clear messages to our youth about anti-bullying, about traditional values, about, you know, being a champion within children. So we got some good people pushing that message.
Absolutely. You know, I saw a picture of Matthew Zip online today that he's playing the bully. Now I get the haircut, because I asked him a couple of weeks ago when I saw him, I said, what's with the haircut? He says, well, I had to do it for the movie, because Matthew is one of the nicest kids. I could not see him playing a bully, but that haircut makes him look more of like a punk. Than a straight shooter.
Oh, well.
Well, Glenn, let's take a phone call. Somebody wants to talk to us, and I have no idea who it is, so
awesome.
Let's bring them on. Area code 262, first three numbers, 662. You're on live on the Dynamic Dojo. Who is this?
This is Scott from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hey, welcome, Scott.
Welcome, Scott.
Yeah, and, well, thank you. And I just saw that Grandmaster Dwight G. Wilson was going to be on the call, and I know of Pai Lung Tao, and I think he actually, I guess the question was, Don the Dragon's been in many movies, but is this the first time that we really have represented Pai Lung Tao in a movie?
Great question.
Yeah, that is. Actually, it has been touched on here and there a little bit. In this movie, it's going to be the message is going to be stronger. Don's going to make it stronger in there, and I believe he will be wearing it. I'm not positive, but I believe he will be wearing a traditional Pai Lung Tao uniform in some of the movie. And that is really to push the system that people understand really has a high standards of tradition and moral ethics. And, you know, I think sometimes we forget what martial arts really grew in the centuries in the past with. And that was that honor and a clear message of morality. And that doesn't mean you can't have fun, you can't, you know, enjoy life, but that's what the arts were really pushed for originally, and I think that's what they're trying to get into this movie is to let people know that solid message. So it's going to be, and there's going to be a lot of action, of course.
Oh, of course.
That is awesome.
Well, now, let me ask you this, Glenn, since we've got Scott and Wayne online, what message, without getting too much, revealing too much, what's the difference in this message and in, like, let's say, a bad example of the Karate Kid?
Okay, Karate Kid was clear cut that, and so there will be some similarities. So that's an excellent question. What this is going to show is, because I think people, when looking at Karate Kid, they go back in time somewhat with a basic good school, bad school. In this one, it's family members, Don and Cynthia, trying to help out a troubled family member and a child that they know is about to go the wrong way and could very easily be swayed in a wrong direction, which I think so much of our society is faced with right now, where
Absolutely.
All of us that have children, we just go, you know, every day we worry about this type of thing. Where in the Karate Kid, it was more of a competition, you know, and morals between two schools. I think this is more of social morals and how do we get this young man to do the right thing and walk the right path.
Oh, wow. I can't wait. I've already, you know, the director was on our show last week. I've already talked to him about getting us on the red carpet. This message is so powerful to today's youth. I absolutely can't wait. Hey, Scott, can you stay on the line and pop in every now and then?
Yeah. And, you know,
okay.
I mean, I think from what I've read, because I know there's Pai Lung Tao schools throughout the United States and other countries in the world, and, I mean, they have a reputation of honor and dignity and, you know, because I've been to competitions where I've seen those guys, and they're class act all the way. I mean, so I just feel the honor that these guys survived.
Wow. That was a very nice thing to say about your system, Glenn. I'm
Absolutely.
Really impressed. Now, are you nationwide? Are you worldwide? How many schools do you know of for your system?
In the United States, we are in 9 states and 6 countries that we have schools. We are not the biggest. That is absolutely for sure, because we pick tradition and you know, those type of things over everything. And that is so. It's not a mass market and stuff. When people go to a Pai Lung Tao school, they know they're going to be faced directly with tradition, and I think that's what we're longing in. So, I mean, there are masters of 1-2 generations ago that set these standards as high, and you could see it in their message, and their systems grew very, very well. So that's what we have chose to do. And in America, like I said, you know, 9 states, and it's going good. It's And we will never be the biggest, and we're definitely not the easiest. So, but we produce some great people in their heart and some incredible martial artists and competitors, as you know, just by the names we have in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, I know you've been asked this probably several times. Don is so big within the martial arts world. And I've got a couple kids, and both of them are different. When you were teaching the Wilson brothers, were they different types of students?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's just like any two brothers, you know, that are going to be, you know, in any way. Don, more of the physical, like I say, he was gifted with an athlete's body and ability and the agility and strength that any, I don't care if you play golf, baseball, whatever, that type of athletic ability that he has, he was born with, and he had it, and he really used it. And James, his brother, more of the intellectual and stuff, and you know, would pick up the forms quicker and that. So while he's, and I mean, they both could fight and do very, very well. They both did the forms and weaponry that you classically see in Chinese systems. They both did it very well. But just like any brothers, you know, yeah, really totally different. And then you stand back sometimes and go, gosh, they're so similar. So I'm not sure I answered the question, but
you
yeah,
did.
Definitely.
Without going into detail, Glenn, you answered it perfectly. So tell us about your martial arts background.
My martial arts background, I am in my 60s. I started training on my 10th birthday. My father was a black belt in judo going back in those days. You know, you didn't find a whole lot of martial arts other than your traditional judo that came into the country in the early 60s. Maybe some traditional karate had already been established, but schools weren't like it is today. We can find them all over the place. So I started off in the judo. Then living in South Florida, I went to a demonstration of Kempo. When I learned the Kempo, I was just blown away. I said, this is awesome. I love this. And I started learning Kempo and then went into Kung Fu, traveled and learned in Asia and the United States, and then was introduced to Dr. Pai and transferred my rank over, which was registered in Taiwan at that time with the Gofu. And been in it ever since. I competed in the 70s into the early 80s, did very well in my competition. Coached a lot in the 80s, and then at the end of the 80s, spending time with Dr. Pai, knowing that this legend was, you know, getting ill and diabetes and had limited years left. We all thought we had more than we had, which is typical. We started structuring the system. We said, you know, what are we going to leave behind when this legend leaves? And anyone who knew Dr. Pai or around in those days, him being a legend and one of the greatest martial artists to walk this planet was not even a debate. I mean, there's only a handful of names that'll be in that category, and he was one of them. So we started working really hard on what are we going to leave to the world of Pai Lum Thao. And now, you know, but he was my teacher. He was like my father. And now, at this stage of my life, in my 60s, I look very serious at what are we leaving to the world in Pai Lum Thao. And I tell people when I'm interviewed and stuff, I'm not here to govern the martial arts world by any means. My world is Pai Lum Thao, that system. And we try to give the best we can. And I'm really proud of the people we have. I mean, they're big names, yeah, but even if they weren't big names, they are incredible people.
Wow, very cool. Now, you had mentioned towards the end of your master's life, you would structure the system, you'd take the curriculum and solidify everything. Why was it at that time? Was it a mortality issue? You realized that this great man will not be around forever, so let's sit down and do this.
Well, yes, we knew there had to be some structure. He was from the old world. And what I mean by that, respectfully, is here's the martial arts. It's laid out. You know, you get it or get out the door. You know, you make the grade or goodbye. You know, and I would sit with him and say, we need to organize it where there's people who can train at their pace, who can learn the art, because no, you know, not everyone's ability is the same, but everyone who walks through that door has a need. And he, okay. You know, sometimes it takes time to talk to the parent or the father and convince them of the times we're in. And I would say what's the most important thing is that we have been a benefit to people. And, yes, we have this martial art that is so effective and extremely lethal and will help you out in the street in self-defense. But what is it doing in the big picture of things, and are we able to reach everyone's need? It's not my need when I'm on the floor teaching. It's the student's need.
Yeah, true.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Are you – typically in your teaching, Glenn, are you – how do I word this? I'm trying to sort of float into the movie. Are you the type that does teach these types of emotional and mental lessons, like being developed by the martial arts kids?
I believe that there are lessons, the emotional lessons, the psychological lessons. Absolutely, because children need it now more than ever. All we've got to do is turn on the news. I mean, it's just we're living in times that are extremely challenging. And we all can sit there and watch these horrible things on the news and go, what if? You know, and there's a million what ifs. What if they would have trained somewhere where a teacher taught them the difference between right and wrong? Because we don't know if they're getting it at home. And certainly that's a whole other subject and a whole other world to engage in. But what can we teach them on that martial arts floor, you know, that will make them walk out with a greater gift, the ability to defend themselves and others
right.
that are innocent, and at the same time not abuse it. So I think there are a lot of psychological lessons. And remember, the old teachings, if you didn't get by that, I mean, these teachers would ask these questions. If you didn't make it by the psychological analysis, you didn't get on the floor.
Right. Absolutely.
True. Very true. Wayne, do you have any questions for Glenn? I know I'm stepping on your toes here.
I know. Well, you are. All about the show. Tell us about any books you've authored.
I'm sorry?
Tell us about any books that you've authored. Have you authored very many?
Yes. Well, I've authored 5 books on the system. My first one was by Unique Publications back in the 2000, early 2000 and something. I'm so horrible with dates. And Don and Cynthia both came in and helped me with the book and the photos inside. And, you know, we're family, you know. So they came in. It was my first book. Now, since then, I've written 4 others, one on the Kung Fu discipline, one on the Kempo discipline, one on the meditation, and then one on the internal part, which is the Tai Chi and Qigong. And all of these are traditional aspects of Phai Lung Tao.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. What about your other book?
Question? I was going to say, can I ask you a question about those books?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I assume that you have a website or something of that nature, Grandmaster Wilson, but is that where you could get the books if you're looking to get something that big information?
Yes, and it's simply www.pailum.org. And on there, they'll take care, you know, of the needs of anyone that wants to get that specific information and stuff. And our reviews and the feedback I've got from people have been really, really good. And that's the part that really touches me. For anyone who's authored stuff, you know, you put it out there, you never know. And hey, all you can say
right.
is if it's true and it's a piece of your heart, then, hey, that's good.
Oh, very good. Now, you must have heard this question before because you're Don and James' teacher. Have you ever gotten asked your relation?
Oh, yeah, all the time. All the time. And Don and James and I laugh about this. Don has said a million times, we have to be related somewhere. So we've done our genealogy. We've done our side. They need to do their side and see if we are, because, and I'll tell you why, it's kind of crazy. A lot of our ancestors have the same names. And usually, historically with families, names are repetitive to keep that name in the family, you know, tree. That's the way it's been for hundreds and hundreds of years. And we have a lot of the same names, so it's kind of weird like that. We both grew up together, you know, in Florida. James and I look a little more the same, but I'm Wilson, which is Scottish, of course, and then Native American. So I have a little bit of that other color flavor in there too. So when James and I were together all the time, people always thought we were brothers. And of course, you know, Don and James are Scottish, Irish, and Japanese.
Right. Now, tell us a little bit about your time in the ring, when you were fighting back in the day.
You know what? We had so much fun, and we really didn't know what we were doing. When we sit around the table and talk and laugh, back in the 70s, we're fighting on armory floors, and we put some mats out there, maybe, if we could get some. If we couldn't get any mats, that was okay. And the story I'm telling here, I think so many martial arts instructors would share the same thing. You know, we put on gloves and just beat each other crazy. And at the end of it, went out and had a beer and loved each other. You know, it was like, yay.
But, yeah, that's what it's supposed to be.
That was the early days, you know, of trying to figure out where all this was going in this country.
Well, I was going to say, you guys actually wore gloves? I would have thought that you came back in the day when there was no such thing.
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. There was a time that we didn't have them, but when we did get them, that was a big treat. And we thought, okay, this is the way it's supposed to be because boxers wear gloves. So then we put on gloves, and that was for the kickboxing aspect. But when you go back with the traditional sparring, you're absolutely right, there were no gloves. What we would do would have wraps on the hands and wraps on the shins, and you would go at it. But the entire philosophy of that fighting was quite a bit different, than it was in the kickboxing. More traditional techniques and all that, but I think the whole point that changed a lot of it, I always say, is a pro and a con, and I hope I don't offend any of them out there, but the pro would be safety. You know, we all need to be safe. You definitely need to have safety involved, or you're not going to have a return too much. And then on the con side of it was so many attorneys that I think it scared all of us in the 70s, and we go, okay, we got to watch out now and slow this down.
Very true.
Hey, back then.
Right. I've got to say something, Glenn, that if you didn't offend anybody by – if I haven't offended anybody yet and Wayne knows this, you won't offend anybody on this show. It's just not going to happen.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, one of the things they told me when I was in Russia, and I was chosen by Putin's staff over there at the time to go over, because he's very heavily in the martial arts, and a group of us went over there to Russia and stuff, and one of the things they told me about the attorney thing was, you know, you're 5% of the world population, and you got 80% of the world's attorneys. You guys got to watch out. So I was like, okay, how do I come back at this?
Exactly. Go ahead, Wayne. What do you got?
Hey, let's go back to some of the movie work. Tell us about some of your, in front of the camera and behind the camera experience.
Well, with myself, not a whole lot of that. Most of the stuff that I have done has either been, choreographing, assisting with that type of thing. And in the background, I'm not really an upfront person on that. I was in a movie, a European one, done on all German. And ironically, it was The Shaolin Kid. I don't know. And I have no idea how it did or anything. it's in Europe somewhere. And they did some shooting in Orlando, and they did some at my school. And they were doing some of the techniques a little questionable, so they saw me shaking my head, so they told me, well, you get out here and do it. So I did, and they loved it and said, oh, we're putting that in there. I said, okay, whatever. But as far as in the movies, not really involved that much with it. That's really Don and James and Cynthia's world, and they're the best there are at it. So I'll watch their technique. They can do the movies.
That's cool.
Well, we really haven't talked about this, and of course we've been promoting the movie. I mean, James came up to me at the Marginal Artists Museum in Burbank and said, how about having some of my actors, my actresses on your show? And I said, absolutely, don't have to ask me twice. So what is your role on the Martial Arts Kid? What is your role?
I am actually playing myself. When James called me and said, hey, Grandmaster, would you like to da-da-da-da? And I go, well, I'll help you guys any way you want. This is awesome, we're big family, and I love the guys to death. And I said, what do you want from me? And he goes, play yourself. And I said, I can do that. that's easy. So what's going to happen is the scene that we're going to shoot with me in it is actually going to have some really awesome guys. There'll be Bill Wallace, there'll be Jeff Smith, there'll be Alan Goldberg, or Orlando Rivera, Jerry Blank. There's going to be myself, and we're going to be up on the stage. And I guess in the storyline of the movie, there's this mythical class that's taught once a year on the beach, and everyone comes to, and it's their one chance to train with these legends, these pioneers, and on and on and on. So that's going to be our role, standing up there, and they'll film all the people standing there. And I think Don and I could be wrong on this on all this, but I think this is the plot. Don and Cynthia, who are the martial arts kids, aunt and uncle, they bring him up and go, see, these are the guys you're supposed to train with. These are good guys to train with. And I think that's pretty much how the scene will go.
Oh, okay, cool. Now, did you shoot that scene today?
No, that scene will be shot Thursday.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, they're shooting a lot of other stuff now, so I'm just kind of in and out. Tomorrow morning, they're shooting some fighting scenes, and we have a couple guys coming in. My son has a school in Tampa, and he has a lot of fighters that fight kickboxing and MMA and all that, and they have a teenage guy who's coming in to do some street fighting tomorrow. So I know that scene's happening early tomorrow morning, and then, whatever they need from me, I'm here.
Cool.
Oh, very cool. Now, is James Liu with you guys this week?
James is, he's supposed to be here now. So he is a very big part of the movie, absolutely. I think James is stuck on an airport or something like that. He would be the one to talk to on that, but he will be here doing the fight choreographing in the morning for that scene and for much of the other scenes in the movie. He'll be doing all
cool.
of and he's
now,
absolutely
now, well,
one of the best in the world at that.
Oh, he is. Absolutely is. Now, I know because of the timing, I'm very much involved with the Masters Hall of Fame out in Los Angeles, but they had an event this weekend in Texas that Don was at. So is
right.
Don going from Texas to Florida to be with you guys?
Yes. Don and Cynthia are both flying in from Texas right at this time. They're flying in. They should be in tonight.
Oh, very cool. You're in strictly the beach scene?
Yes, as far as I think so. Yeah, whatever they need, yeah. But I know definitely that scene, So, I mean, James may say, hey, I need you to come over and do this, and yeah, whatever. I'm here to have fun and support the guys and support, I hate to be repetitious so much, but really to support a great project with a great message. So It's fun. And we're having a great time, as you imagine.
Absolutely. And you've got some legends on the beach with you. I mean, Bill Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
One of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Oh, Bill is completely just one of a kind. We go back. I promoted my first tournament in 1977, and I had a bunch of the guys come in, and I remember calling him up, and he was in Memphis at the time. And, you know, Bill, can you come and help me, man? It's my first tournament I'm promoting. He says, there's no place else I'll be, and shows up. I mean, that's the kind
that's
of guy,
cool.
You know, Bill is. Oh, yeah.
No,
he's
I've heard a lot of people say that about him, too.
He's totally. There's only one Bill. They broke the mold.
And I hear he's quite a character too.
Exactly. Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, we had him on the show. I think in November, Glenn, and I made the mistake. Not really a mistake because it was out of respect. I called him Sensei. Says, yeah, you know, this is gone. He said, you know what? He said, you know, it's Bill. I'm not Sensei. I'm not Master. I'm not Grandmaster. When I was growing up, there were no titles. There was Sensei. That was it.
That was it.
That one, that's right.
You know, but,
right.
There's certain people that say, call me by my first name, like Bill Rinsaki is the same way.
Bill
Wallace. There are certain people that you go, you know, I really love you, but...
Well, you know, we're taught tradition, and we understand it, and we can respect it at the same time. But, you know, on the flip side of that coin, everyone's a human being. Everyone, you know, is just we all put on our uniform the same way. And I would tell you, and I've told people this over the years, you know, the higher and higher you get with some people in their levels, the nicer and more down-to-earth and humble most of them are.
Yeah,
and that's been my life experience.
And I'm glad you ended that sentence with most of them. There are those exceptions.
Well,
there is one guy going out in California that his title is at least 10 syllables long. Professor, doctor, grandmaster, sulky.
Wow.
But that's ridiculous.
I don't have that much room on my card, so I keep it simple.
You wind up having an 8x10 business card.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, that's funny. That is so funny. You got any more questions?
Is our caller still there?
Yes, he is. Scott, you're still there, right?
I wonder if he's got anything else he wants to ask.
Well, I was going to say, it's kind of hard to
schedule.
Well, it's hard to get a word in because you guys keep talking. So that's why I was just listening.
Hey, just do like we do, man. Just butt in. We don't care.
No, I'm just kind of looking forward to this movie. For one thing, because I heard it was coming out, and I've been seeing advertisements mainly on Don Wilson's Facebook page. He's been promoting the heck out of this. So, and I saw that Grandmaster Glenn Wilson is going to be on the phone today, so I thought I'd give a call in. And his Silent Palace seems like the real deal to me. And I think I heard the Grandmaster say earlier, he's like said something about, you know, there's traditional ones,
you
and
want to
there's
get
some
on?
That are not
okay.
So good.
Okay.
So, I can see this is the real deal. That's all.
Hey, Robert.
Yes, sir.
Are you still there, Robert?
Absolutely. Yes.
I have James Wilson with me right now. They're ready to throw us out of here, and they want us to pay for the bill at this restaurant. Imagine that. I thought
that nerve of those people.
I'm going to tell them, but we're doing a radio show. But anyway, here's that's right. Here's James. Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. I'm going to put him on my phone. So here he is. Hey, Robert.
Hey, James.
How you guys
how
doing?
Are you? I'm doing well.
I'm good.
Look,
we're super
guy,
busy.
Man.
I took a break to say that again.
I love this guy. This guy's
unbelievable.
Yeah,
he's great, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting dirt on you guys. It's great.
Yeah, I knew you'd like doing an interview with him, you know, because you guys are all about the martial arts, you know. So I knew that would be good.
Oh, absolutely. No, the guy is unbelievable. How's your shooting schedule going to go for this week?
Well, tomorrow we've got some fight scenes. We're busy, but listen, we are shooting 12-hour days, and, I mean, there's not a break. And, you know, when problems pop up, everybody's fast on their feet, and so far it's going great. And we're shooting tomorrow early. We got some fight scenes tomorrow, so they'll be a little more complicated. And James Liu got in today, so it's all coming together good. It looks good. Everybody is doing a good job so far.
Hey, we are all very, very excited about this project. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's going to be something special. It really is.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, I'm gonna put Glenn on because we got to get the check and get out of here. So I'm gonna say good night.
Good night, James. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Okay. All righty. I just wanted to make sure y'all had a chance to talk to James.
Hey, that was cool. Thank you.
You know, usually he's the one calling in when we have his actors. He's always on the phone calling in. Him and Don. Always call in and say nice things about you guys. James is a great guy. You know, James, Don, and anybody who sees, I want to tell our listeners, anybody who sees Don Wilson, go say hello to him. Because he's almost a little bit intimidating because of who he is, but he's very approachable. He's a very approachable guy, nice guy. He'll tell stories about his days. Great guy. James, too, though. James is a very cool guy.
Where are you guys doing the majority of your filming at?
It's done here in, right now we're in Cape Canaveral, and we're at a restaurant called Rusty's. It's right on the waterway here, and we're doing the fight scenes tomorrow at a bike shop somewhere. I'm not sure if it's a motorbikes or something. I don't know where. I'll just follow wherever James tells me. But it's at another scene. So everything's really happening in Cape Canaveral and Cocoa Beach. Because remember, Don and James grew up in Cocoa Beach. So this mm-hmm. is their world. So it's exciting, you know, them being back here, you know, this many years later and making a movie. And I tell you what, the local newspapers and stuff have been just awesome. You know, just
cool.
It's a small, for those that have been here, they know it's a small community, but at the same time, of course, having Cape Canaveral here and all that, it's, you know, it's a high focus area, but it's pretty kickback. You know, we like it.
Speaking of the Wilson brothers, what were they like as students?
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. Very attentive, great guys, just very competitive, you know, great competitive, you know, obviously. Now, you know, James, he does a lot of the business end and always has. He's always been on that end as well as being a great competitor in his days. You know, just most of us, you know, will never be as well known as what Don's done as a competitor because it was so strong in his blood when he went out and started competing worldwide. And you know what really separated him early on was he went and fought the country's champions in their country and beat them and took their titles away. Now, that's hard.
That's hard to do. Cool, too.
Yeah, it's one thing doing it somewhere else, but when you go into their country and do it and you fly back with their belt, and, that's saying something.
Oh, absolutely.
That is. Now, you mentioned just now that James also competed. Of course, he's not, you know, you don't think of him as the competitor. You think of Don. Was he more of a tournament fighter, or was he also in the ring?
Well, he did both. All of us did both. That was just the way we were taught and what we did. It was part of the rites of passage, I guess, in those days, back in the 70s and stuff. But, James did both. He promoted a lot of tournaments, promoted events in that area, and you know, the 70s, one thing we were talking about last night over dinner is, which I think so many martial artists will relate to, the 70s were really the gunslinger days. You know, you had Bruce Lee movies out, you had the Kung Fu series out, and all you had to do was have a school, and at least once or twice a week, you had to tell the class to go line up on the edge, okay, here's another challenger, you know.
Yep. Absolutely.
Teach them some Pai Lum, drag them out the front of the door, and then start crossover.
Hey, I remember them days. Somebody close the door. Mr. Riley, get up here.
That's what I'm saying. I think all of us can remember. Okay, yeah, we remember that. And it's evolution, you know. It's evolved, and I hope it's better. You know, but like I said, I'm only responsible for Pai Lum Thao.
Well, I think it has because of all the lawsuits, and they'll throw you in jail now.
Really? No kidding. Well, guys,
yeah, there
I
no
have to go. Yeah,
well,
they're closing up the places.
We have one more question for you. We have one more question for you, and that's it. What advice?
Okay.
And literally, this is the last question, I swear. What advice would you give to somebody who wants to start martial arts training or breaking into the movies?
Advice for martial arts training, do your homework and find out what the message that the school is oriented towards. What do they teach? And is that what you're looking for, or looking for your child or your nephew or friend? You know, there's different flares, so it's not always about the style, because the style isn't doing the teaching. The teacher is. Make sure you know who the teacher is. You know, and nowadays, you can check anything on anyone, so do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Before you take them in there. Martial arts movies and stuff, I think James put it really well the other night at dinner. You got to work hard. You know, set your goals. And, you know, I remember Don, I remember Cynthia, all the, before they ever did a movie, but they knew what they wanted. They worked very hard at it, and they become some of the best in the world at that, as well as their martial arts. So, hey, you know, it's like anything. Make sure you put your heart into it, and then it's work. There's no easy free ride. It's hard work,
no.
You know, and that's it.
So much today, they just give kids, you know. They should, they need to earn it. They need to know that, you know, they've earned it. Otherwise, you just keep giving to them. It's no wonder we've got so much crime. They know they're not going to get in trouble for anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, they're chasing me out of here.
Well, thank you so much.
It was
Glenn.
Awesome talking.
We had a blast.
Oh,
okay,
yeah,
well,
absolutely.
It's been my pleasure. Okay?
Well, Glenn,
all right,
you have
thank
a,
you.
A great time shooting, and we hope to see you sometime.
Absolutely. When I'm out in L.A., I'm going to tell Don and James to take me by and meet y'all.
Oh, that'd be great. We do appreciate it. Look forward to it, sir.
Okay. Have a good one, and thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for your support of the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
You
thank
too.
You.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Well, that was Grandmaster Glenn Wilson. What a great guy, wasn't he, Wayne?
Oh, man. That awesome, awesome guy. You know, especially
to have students as well-known
as he has. You know, to have students that are well-known as he has, you know, it's just phenomenal, man. You know, I'm just sitting here in awe.
Oh, I know. And Don fought on an airplane because he was in Texas last night at Masters Hall of Fame Award ceremony, and along with Art Camacho and a bunch of people. It's just, I can't wait till this movie comes out. You know, it was.
I know.
You know, the director took a shot at me last week, which was really funny. I said, you know, they're doing shooting in Cocoa Beach for a week, and then they're coming out to L.A. for 2 weeks. And I said, you know, Mike, if you need anybody to walk out or anything, you know, I'm always available to you. I said, but remember, I have the space for radio. And he says, we got a perfect spot for you. It's the costume party. I went, wow, really?
Wow. Hey,
you
how far
a
is
shot at me
from Orlando?
Not too far, because I was in Cocoa Beach, and I was in Kissimmee in the 1990 Dick Cruise with my wife, which is right outside Orlando.
Okay. I plan on taking a trip down there to see my sister sometime here soon. I think I may look them up while I'm down there.
Oh, that would be cool. Now, where's your sister?
She lives in Orlando.
Oh, see, that's where he
sure. Yeah, that's what I thought he said.
Yeah.
And didn't he say it was schools there in Orlando? Oh, cool. Oh, I know what I'm going to do now. I'm definitely going to check them out, you know.
When are you going to take your trip?
I'm not sure yet. I know she's wanting my son to come out after, you know, they figure out what's going to go on, how they're going to, you know, handle this collarbone break. She's wanting him to come out. We may just drive out and, you know, spend a couple weeks out there. I've got my assistants to handle the school, so, you know, there's nothing really holding me here right now. So we may do that.
Drive out? How long would that take you to drive out?
I can do it in 2 days, no problem.
Okay.
But with me, I mean, I can get behind the wheel and just drive and drive, drive. If I've got somebody to talk to, I mean, forget it. We'll be there in no time. But yeah, probably 2 days, yeah.
Now, what state do you live in?
Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm about...
I guess that wouldn't be too bad.
I'm about an hour north of Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think my sister said it's about a two-day drive. Only because, you know, take the time out, you know, to see a few things here and there or whatever. Plus, we've got family all along the way. So that would be cool. Stop in, spend the night. Don't have to worry about a hotel. Get up the next day, drive some more.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Plan it out so you don't have to spend any money on hotel rooms. Just go by and tell your family you're just stopping by to see them.
That's right. You know, and of course they want to cook you dinner, and you know, when you eat dinner, especially with Southern families, you know, you eat a lot, you get tired. You know, you don't mind if I lay down for a little bit, do you?
Yeah, especially with Southern families.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and that's the way our whole family is. You know, they love to just pop in, you know, and I love that.
Right. Absolutely. You know what? This is the first time that nothing went wrong.
And look at the time. We've ended an hour early.
We did. This was an actual really efficient night. And right now I'm sitting here stalling looking for end music. I'm like, okay, where are you? There we go. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Scott, Natalia, Jackie, Diana, Deb Evans, Anna Ramos. I want to thank everybody for listening. Hopefully they are still listening. And next week it looks like we are going to have Soki Greg Wooldridge join us. Wayne, thank you again for your fifth or sixth time.
if not seven.
Exactly.
But I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. Anytime, man. Anytime you guys need me, I'm here.
Very cool. I think that's why. And she mentioned it. She knew we could always ask you, and you just do it. Thank you again, Wayne. I had a blast with you. We had a awesome guest tonight. Just an amazing time.
Yeah.
Listeners, listen again next week. Sifu Restita will be back joining me at the helm. And have a great week. And we'll talk to everybody next week. Take care.
See everybody later. Take care.